Okay, so as we've mentioned a few times, because this is Divrei Agoda, so we are trying to learn this quickly. We're on Daf Hei Omud Aleph. We are towards the end of the narrow lines. In fact, it's the fifth last narrow line. V'omer Ablevi Bachama. Omer Rab Shimon ben Lakish Maidiksit. Apostle in the Torah v'etno l'cho. I will give you as luchos ha'even v'hatayro v'hamitzvah asher kosavti lahoiroi som, that I have written to teach you. All those words, every single word in the pasuk is interpreted now in the following way, and it says luchos elo aseres hadibros tayro ze mikro. That's obviously referring to the pasukim. V'hamitzvah is referring to zuha mishnah. Asher kosavti, quote unquote, elu neviim luksuvim, and lohayroisam ze gemara. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you the following, that means he's telling him, I'm giving you mishnayos, I'm giving you gemaras, malamed, shekulam nitnu l'moshe misinai. Means everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, and that's what he passed on to us. So mishnah and gemara essentially was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu. When we say Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, we don't just mean the Sefer Torah and the Tariag Mitzvahs, but rather Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and Mishnayos and Gemara as well. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, again, why did we mention this? Because it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, and he was the same Amoira who told us early on with regard to Yitzhahara and Yitzhatov and Rigzaval Techatol, the same posuk, everything is connected. Okay, we're on the first wide line now. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaKoyre Kriya Shema. Oh, we said we learned this yesterday. Kol HaKoyre Kriya Shema Al Mitosoi. Kiru Oiches Cherev Shal Shtei Pios. Yeah, sorry, I think we learned this yesterday. You say Kriya Shema, it's as if you're holding a sword, double-edged sword with two blades, Shenema. Roimemois keil begreinom v'cherev pipiois. Pipiois is the plural. B'yodom, my mashma, what's that got to do with Kriya Shema? Olamazutra, v'item ravashi, me'resha de'inyonis, from the first half of the pasuk, the ksiv. Yalzu chasidim b'chavod yirannu al mishke voisom. What's that word, al mishke voisom? I'm sleeping. So when you go to sleep, you will be armed with a double-edged sword. How so? By saying Kriya Shema. Now, V'ksiv Basrein is written immediately after that. Now, why do you need a sword? So look at Rashi. Kilu oisai on the fourth narrow line, kilu oisai cherev shal shtei piyos biyadoi, laharoig es hamazikin. It's in order to kill the mazikin. As we said before, that at night time there are considered to be mazikin who are roaming around, and Kriya Shema is a shmira against these mazikin, such that you are considered, if you say Kriya Shema, as if to have this sword with two blades there as your protection.
It's interesting, there's an expression in English, something can be a double-edged sword, which means there are pluses and minuses.
Correct. Yeah, here, I don't know, to be honest, why you need a sword with two blades against the mazikin. Does Rai Artscroll have anything to say about this? Why isn't one blade enough?
It's a better sword. The best sword. I don't know, I didn't say that.
Right, so yeah, it's hard to try and suggest pshatim when talking about mazikin and these types of concepts. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we have actually, sorry.
Oh yeah, what is he saying?
There are two things, the mazikin, and there's also the yetzara, which Shema will protect you against, protects your soul from the yetzara.
Who's he quoting there?
Hadoshim Gam Yeshenim.
Okay. So you have a double-edged sword because Kriya Shema has a protection not only against the Mazikim, but also against the Yetzirah. Okay, Wonderful. Zot the Gemara Vayta on the third wide line. Va'omer Rabbi Yitzchok Kol Hakoyre Kriyas Shema Al Mitosoi Mezikin Bedelin Heimenu. Anybody who says Kriyas Shema in his bed, these evil forces, Bedelin Heimenu, will be separated from him. Shenema, as it says, Ubnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif Ve'ein Oif Elo Torah. So through saying the words of the Torah, meaning Kriyas Shema, that will be your protection. How do I know that the word Oif is a reference to Torah? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shenemai his if ein boy ve'einenu. Okay. What about the words in the beginning of that pasuk of Bnei Reshef? Ve'ein Reshef Elo Mazikin. So now go back to that pasuk. Ubnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif. The Bnei Reshef, these Mazikin, will be moved away through Oif. Which Oif? The Torah. How do I know that Reshef is a reference to Mazikin? Shenema, Maze, Ro'ov, Veloichave, Reshev, Vekotev, Meriri. Says the Moravite, Omar, Rav Shimon ben Lokish, Kol Ho'isik, Betoira, Yisurin, Bedelin, Emenu. Anybody who's Oisik, Betoira, then affliction will be removed from him. Shenema, once again, Ubnei Reshef, Yagbiu Oif, Ve'ein Oif, as we said before, Elotayra. Shenema, Hisifei Necho, Boi Ve'inenu. Ve'ein Reshef, before we translated Reshef as Mazikin. Says the Gemara, I can have another understanding. Ve'ein Reshef, Elo Yisurin. How do I know? Shenema mazei ro'ov v'loich v'rechesh, reshef. And therefore, being oisik b'teirah can both alleviate mazikin, and it can also alleviate affliction, yisurin. Om alei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is the one who authored this statement. Said Rabbi Yochanan, I don't understand. What exactly are you being mechadish to me? Oh, afilu tinoikos shel beis rabon yoidin oisoi. Even children in cheder, everybody knows that if you learn Torah, that alleviates yisurin. Why? It's a mafurish pasuk. Shenema, it's a pasuk in Beshalach. Vayomer im shomoya tishma lekoil Hashem aleikecho. If you listen to Hashem's voice. You listen to the mitzvahs and you keep all of his statutes, and what will happen? So it's a mafurish pasuk. Even children know this pasuk, that if you learn Torah, that will remove illness. So what exactly are you being machadish to me? Look at Rashi. Rashi's on the bottom, Rashi on the right-hand side. Afilo tinoikei shel beis rabon, even children in cheder know this. Shaha Torah magino. That Torah protects. Everybody knows that Torah protects. Magino, like the word mogging. Melech oizer umoishia umogging. Everybody knows that Torah protects. Shelemeidin mi sefer chumish. Because you learn from the Sefer Chumash, Im, Shemoya, Tishma, etc., etc., what happens? Kol ha-machla, asher samti. Vafilu ha-ketanim, why are we mentioning children? Because the pasuk that Resh Lakish brought me was a pasuk in Eoiv. To which Rabbi Yechanan says, well, you don't need to go as far as Eoiv. Why not? Because vafilu ha-ketanim, shaloi higiu le-sefer Eoiv. In cheder, they haven't yet reached Eoiv. Nonetheless, kvar lomdoi. But they've nevertheless, they've definitely learned Chumash Rashi, Parshas Beshalach. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan means. Why are you quoting from your pasuk in Eoiv? You don't need to go that far. Every child, even if he hasn't learned Eoiv, but he's learned Chumash Pashas B'Shalach, and in Pashas B'Shalach it says clearly, if you learn Torah, that's how illness is alleviated.
Was every Makla that was in Mitzrayim, was every Makla in Mitzrayim? Because the Pasuk kind of has a little, like a get out of jail free card by saying Mitzrayim.
That's true. So it's a whole big discussion. If you remember on Leil HaSeda, there is a machlekes. How many makos did Mitzrayim get? Is it 50 or 200 or 250? So the Vilna Gaon famously asked, what's the difference? What's the difference how many makos Mitzrayim got? Was it 50 or 200 or 200? What's the nafkimina? So the Vilna Gaon says, Gaonus. Because the Torah says that every machlo that hit the Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael won't get. So it's in our interest to try and increase the amount of makos that Mitzrayim got. Because the more that they got, the less that we get. If we're very excited to try and find, no, it wasn't just 10, it was 50. No, it wasn't 50, it was 200. It wasn't 200, it was 250. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is how many machlois will not hit Klal Yisrael. But you're right, after all said and done, it does seem to be that Kol HaMachlash is something in Mitzrayim. So again, I don't know what those 250 makos were. I'd rather not know. So we have a big question. So why was Resh Lakish learning from a pasuk in Iyov? What's wrong with a pasuk in Chumash? Got a pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach. Elo, our favorite word, Elo. You're right. He must have meant something else. Elo is telling you more than that. The actual concept of whoever learns Torah will have illness removed. You're right, that's a Dava Poshet. Even children know that. What he was referring to was something further than that. Elo, kol she'efshir loy lasik b'teira. Anybody who is able, for whom it's possible for him to be Isaac b'teira, ve'enai Isaac, comma, and he is not Isaac, very, very scary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi olav yisurin mechu'orin v'oichrin. If somebody is able to be Isaac b'teira and he doesn't do so, I'd rather be involved in other activities besides for Isaac HaTeira, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to him terrible yisurin mechu'orin v'oichrin, dirtied, as it were, afflictions. Shenema ne'elamti Dumio, hechashesi mitoiv ucheivi neechor, ve'ein toiv eloteiro. When it says hechashesi mitoiv, meaning I was silent from toiv. What does that mean? I was silent from toiv, meaning I was silent from toiro. Because ein toiv eloteiro shenema ki lekach toiv nosati lochem toirosi al tazevu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've given you a lekach toiv, a great acquisition. So you see that the word toiv is a reference to Torah. So if somebody is hechashesi mitoiv, he's silent from Torah, meaning he's not oisek b'toiv when he should be, then chas v'shalom, it could be terrible yitzurim. Now, once we mentioned that pasuk of ki lekach toiv, so now the Gemara makes another drasha on that pasuk. Omer Rav Zeira, v'itamer Rav Chanina, ba'papa. Bo ure'e sheloi kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dom, comma. Look at the difference between the behavior kaviyachar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to the behavior of basar v'dom. Basar v'dom, the human being, moicher chefetz lechaveiro, if let's say he's forced to sell something, you didn't really want to sell your table, you didn't really want to sell your car, but you were hard pressed to do so because you needed the money. So when you sell it, moicher otzuv, the moicher is sad. Shame, I needed to get part company with my piano. but I had to raise money. Veloikeach someach. Meanwhile, the purchaser is thrilled. The purchaser has now got brand new grand piano in his dining room. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu einoikein. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very different, and that's the comparison. Why? Because Nosan Lohem Torah Le Yisrael. Because he gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. And if you would have expected Kaviyachol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be sad, and yet he's not. V'seimeach, and he's very, very happy. Shenema, ki lekach toiv nosati lochem toirasi al ta'azoivu. I'm not sure exactly where you see in that pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someach.
Someach that we're not, that we don't discard it, we don't abandon it. It's implied.
Like it says, toirasi al ta'azoivu, do not abandon it, meaning I'm very happy for you to have it.
Right.
So look at Rashi. Rashi explains, I think, said what you says on the top line. Amoicher otsev. Normally the seller is upset. Why? Shepiresh heimenu dovar choshuv kozeh. The fact that he has now lost an important item like this. Well, if he's so upset, so why did he sell it? Umitoich doichek, because he was hard pressed. That's why mochra, he had to sell it. He had no choice. So he had to sell it because he needed the money. However, having done so, he's very upset to have parted the company with something which might be very precious to him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someach. How do you see that? So like you said before, Eliodov, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazhiram. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Klal Yisrael, mila azoiv oisam, from abandoning in it. And he praises the Torah in front of them. Normally, if I sell you something, the last thing I want to do is praise it and go on about how wonderful it is. The more wonderful it is, then the harder it is for me to part company with it. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu praises the Torah and says it's a lekach toiv, then you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not otsev, he's not upset, but to the contrary, he's very happy. This, by the way, is a subject we have discussed on more than one occasion in the Thursday night parasha shiur, which is now Wednesday night. Because this Gemara is a little bit difficult to understand. We're comparing two things which is not really comparable. What are we comparing? We're comparing a seller and a buyer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave us the Torah. But l'chore is not really comparable. Why? Because if I sell you my car, then it's true. The car is no longer with me, and it's now with you, and I don't have it anymore. So I understand, therefore I'm upset. I had to part company, as Rashi said, I didn't have a choice, I was hard-pressed, I needed the money. But at the end of the day, the car is no longer with me, it's with you, so I don't have it. Is that what happened at Matan Torah? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, he gave it to us to keep. That's true. But that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the Torah anymore? In what way has HaKadosh Baruch Hu parted company from the Torah? This is the famous kasha, and this is asked by a few of the Mefarshim, that what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ought to have been upset because he gave away the Torah. He didn't give it away. He gave it to us, but didn't give it away. It's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, Torah Hashem. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the Torah and is nonetheless happy? Well, why shouldn't he be happy? It's not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for Klal Yisrael to keep. So it's a whole Arichus Dvarim. Now's not the time. But just the headline, which is a very important yesod, we're still not so far after Shavuos, a week ago today. Yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And that is that to an extent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give us the Torah, but he gave away the Torah to us. He gave it away. In what way did he give it away? So let's go back to a very famous medrash. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shomayim and was about to receive the Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it says the Malachim put in a claim. And they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you give the Torah to human beings? We want it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nu, Moshe, you need to respond to the Malachim. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said to Malachim, well, you can hardly be mekabel the Torah. You, for example, don't have parents. So how on earth are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah of giving honor to your parents? And you do not eat things. So how are you going to possibly be mekayim the mitzvah of eating matzah, etc., etc., etc.? So clearly the Torah is not for you. So the Beis HaLevi asks the famous question, so what did the Malachim think? But didn't they know that? What were they thinking? That we want the Torah, but l'chayr, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu is so simple that how can you possibly mekayim the Torah if you don't have parents and you can't eat and you don't have a yetzara, etc., etc.? What was the Malachim thinking, b'chol? So the Beis HaLevi says, the big Yesoid, and others, the Chavos Das, and others also say the same. But even though in the Torah you have 613 mitzvahs, but Klal Yisrael are the ones who are koveya the halacha. We all know the stories in the Gemara. We're not going to get into all the details now. A big machlokes between the Chachamim and a bas koil emerged from heaven, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't listen to a bas koil. We are the custodians of the Torah. We decide the emes of the Torah. Even if it may well be, as it were, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant something else. But if Chachmei Yisrael decide this is the emes of the Torah, then this is the emes of the Torah. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu now wants you to do. So even if a bas koil emerges from heaven and says, do otherwise, I'm sorry, we don't pay any attention to a bas koil. Torah lav bashomayim. Torah is not in the heavens, it's over here. Meaning, Klal Yisrael, our job is not just to keep the mitzvahs, but also to be koveya, to establish the emes of the Torah. And says the Beis HaLevi, that's what the Malachim wanted to do. Of course, they knew full well that they cannot be mekayim the mitzvahs. A malach cannot keep the mitzvah of kibud av, or he cannot have an avera of gezel. But they wanted to be the custodians over Torah. They wanted to be the ones who are kiveya the halacha. That's what they wanted. And says the Chavos Das, that's pshat in his Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't merely give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he gave it away to Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael, as it were, they now become the custodians. They become the ones who are kiveya the halacha, and it's no longer in the realms of Shemayim. And if that's the case, and we understand the Gemara very well, then it really is a fair comparison to somebody selling an article. Because just like a seller, after he sold his piano, no longer has it in his control. It's now with somebody else and it's not with him. It's the kaviyachol, that's what happened with the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally gave away the Torah. Torah is now lav bashamayim, and we are kaveh the emes. I'm sure you've all heard, I've definitely said it in the shurim a number of times, but it's such a phenomenal story, I think it warrants repeating. The story with the great Shagas Aryeh. There was somebody very, very ill in the town of Volozhin. And the doctors gave up on him. And the doctor said, the only thing we can possibly suggest is if you leave Volozhin, in fact, you leave the country and you go elsewhere, then maybe they have bigger and better doctors. Perhaps they can suggest something for your refuah shleima. So he had no choice. He packs his bags and he's planning first thing in the morning to leave Volozhin. That night he has a dream. His father comes to him in a dream and says, do not leave the lozen. And he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't know whether this is a dream or a nightmare. What do you mean, don't leave the lozen? All the doctors said, there's no hope if I stay here, I've got to leave the lozen. And he decides, he's thinking about it all day, and he decides, that's it, I'm not paying any attention to dreams. Tomorrow morning, first thing, I'm leaving after all. And that night, for the second time, his father comes to him in a dream and says, do not leave the lozen. And he's mamish moved and disturbed. He doesn't want to do it all day long. He's tossing this up. Should he? Shouldn't he? And he comes to a conclusion. Listen, it's pikuach nefesh over here. I cannot pay attention to dreams. Tomorrow morning, this is my third planned exit. That's it. I'm going. That night, once again, his father comes to him in a dream and says, do not leave the lozen. And this time I'll explain to you why. The Rav in the lozen used to be the great Shagas Aryeh, the Doilei Acharonim. Just by the way, in parentheses, just to give us some tiny, tiny inkling of who the Shagas Aryeh was, the Shagas Aryeh once made a Siyum Hashas. This is just by the way as an aside. And he made a big affair and he made a very, very big besimcha. And somebody asked him and said, the great Shagas Aryeh, I mean, it's a very tremendous thing to finish Shas, but it's surely not your first time. So why such a big lavish affair? And he said, you're right, it's not the first time. This is my 1,000th time of finishing Shas. Now, if that doesn't give you a headache, just make a simple cheshbon. In our lifetime, we were Zeicha, Tavrim Chaim Kanievsky, Zeicha Tzadik Levrochum, made a Siyum Hashas every year. According to the cheshbon, you have to learn 7 daf a year.
A day.
7 daf a day, excuse me. Yeah. 7 daf a day in order to make a Siyum Hashas. If you make a very simple cheshbon, it happens to be the Shagas Aryeh had Arichas Yomim, he lived into his 90s. So let's say, for argument's sake, from the age of 10, I don't know when it was, he was making a Siyum Hashas. So it's the best part of 80 years. So he made 1,000 Siyum Hashases over 80 years, which means every year about 12 Siyum Hashas. If one Siyum Hashas, you've got to learn 7 daf a day, then 12 times 7, they told me in school, is 84 daf a day. And he did that for 80 years. So just that we should have a slight, tiny inkling of what we're dealing with over here. I'll call upon him. So his father says to him in a dream, he says, you're in Volozhin, and the Rav in Volozhin used to be, many years ago, the great Shagas Aryeh. He says, in the times of the Shagas Aryeh, there was a big shaila that revolved about around Europe. What was the shaila? There was a certain animal that was suffering from a particular type of disease. And in fact, the father said to his son, it's the exact same disease that you are suffering. The condition that you are suffering is the exact condition that this animal had. And there was a big machloikas between the poskim of the time, including the Shagas Aryeh, does that render the behemoth a trefa? What is a trefa? A trefa is an animal that cannot survive for 12 months because of a disease, a blemish. And if it's a trefa, it cannot be eaten. So the father says to the son, almost all Rabbonim in Europe, there was an almost unanimous agreement that an animal that's suffering from a disease like this is rendered a trefa, which means the psak aloch is, we consider that animal to be dead within 12 months, it cannot survive. But the Shagas Aryeh here in Volozhin maintained otherwise. And he brought proofs and he maintained la halacha that an animal suffering with this condition is not a trefa. And there's no proof to say that he's going to die within 12 months. Said the father to the son, if you leave Volozhin, then wherever you go, you're entering territory in which the Rav there, Paskin, the animal is a trefa, which means that you are also a trefa and you'll have to die within 12 months. But if you stay in Volozhin, the reality is different. Because the Velozhen Rav was the Shagas Aryeh. And the Shagas Aryeh maintained that an animal, and by extension a human being, is not considered a treifa. That therefore becomes the reality. Medicine and health is dependent, the reality of medicine and health is dependent on Torah. In Velozhen, the Torah says that this condition does not make a person a treifa. You will be highly advised, therefore, not to leave Velozhen. And as I heard the story many, many years ago, he did not leave Velozhen, and he survived for over 20 years. That's what it means, lekach toiv. Nosati lochem toirosi al tazoiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave away the Torah. Chachmei Yisrael akiveya v'halocha, and therefore akiveya, the Matzias. So if you want to know, does somebody with a condition like that, is he in a dangerous state? Can he survive? The answer is the Metzias, the reality depends on Torah. And in Velozhen, the Velozhen Rav, the great Shagas Aryeh paskened that he's a healthy person, he's not a treifer, and he lived for over two decades. That's what it means. Torah wasn't just given to Klal Yisrael, it was given away to Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael become the custodians, they are keveya the halacha, and they are keveya the metzias. The reality has to bend towards Chachmei Yisrael. I think Rav Moshe Zelig, you were there, maybe Rav Eliyahu Dov as well, I don't remember. You remember the Thursday night parasha shir, where I used to give it for a while in Nachal Noam, in Albert Abraham's house. Really, although I'm not sure if you were coming to the show, I think maybe that was before your days.
No, I think that was before I was here.
Right, but Rav Moshe Zelig was definitely part of that show then. And if you remember, on one occasion, we spoke about Kriyas Yamsuf and Moshe Rabbeinu. And I mentioned the story. And do you remember that fellow, Rav Moshe Zelig, that South African painter? There's two brothers, Schwartz.
Right, I remember.
Zev and Shmuel. And Zev Schwartz used to come to our parasha shir. And I mentioned the story. I said, I've heard that the great Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha in Dvinsk, the river was over flooded there, completely over flooding, and it was threatening to flood all of Dvinsk. It would have been a loss of life and a loss of parnasa to millions. And the great Rav Meir Simcha went down to the river. And the way I said it was, because I heard this once from Rav Kirschenbaum, that apparently there were many there who saw it at the time. And Rav Meir Simcha went to the river and he said, I, Meir Simcha HaKoyen of Dvinsk, hereby instruct the river to recede. And on the spot, the river receded and it went back. So this Zev Schwartz, if you remember at the time, he seemed very excited in his seat. And I said to him, Zev, it looks like you have something to say. As I do. He says, I heard this story from my grandmother. She was there at the time. Because my grandmother was irreligious, but she lived in Dvinsk. And Rav Meir Simcha was so kodesh v'choviv. She said, even the goyim in town used to go to Rav Meir Simcha to pasken their shailas, as it were. But she said, yes, she described to her grandson, Zev Schwartz, the painter in Ramah, I don't know if he still lives in Ramah Aleph, that, yes, how she remembers Rav Meir Simcha striding backwards and forwards by this river and instructing. He says, I, Meir Simcha HaKoyen, with the Koyach HaTorah, instruct the river to recede, and it did on the spot. So the Koyach HaTorah is Keveya, the Metzias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who had given away the Torah. Okay, I see we've run out of time. A little bit of story time today, but from time to time, I think
it was worth every. It was worth every minute.
Thank you for the
kiss. All the best, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
Amen. Okay.